Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
For Narbos and Broomheads, everybody, your favorite Degrassi podcast. I'm Arlo, and I will be your humble host tonight. And let's see who else is out there. Let's get straight to it. We have some wonderful pals joining us today. Let's head all the way over to the East Coast and see who's over there. A bit of a surprise, maybe.
Hi. Is it a surprise? I don't know.
It's
me, Ted. Sugar the cat is here. Linda the dog is here. No, it's not Ted. It's Barry, the other guy. No, it's good to be on again. Like I said, I haven't been on in a while. Like I said, lots of things getting away. But I got to say, and I'm really looking forward to talking to these next couple episodes, because this show really charms me, I got to say. It has an innocence about it that we'll certainly get into,
same.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But no, it's good to be back. I'm looking forward to chatting about this. And that was a shitty intro. Well, that's it. You figured I'd have something better than that after all this time. I would have had something prepared, a nice poem written or something like that. But no, came in and winged it.
Waka waka.
Yeah. Waka waka, that's right. Let's bump this party all the way to Oakville, I think.
Hey, guys. Tim's here. I am public enemy number one in my house right now. I was sick this past week, since healthy now, but now I have infected the three other people in our house.
So oh no.
I am hiding in the basement right now tonight, hoping for the best.
Was it the COVID?
No, well, no, it was just a cold.
Yeah, so were you really sick?
Well, I didn't, definitely they're letting me know they're sick now, so.
I don't think it counts unless you got COVID now.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, some bullshit other disease? Come on.
And who's that voice we hear in Toronto? Just a little bit to the southeast of me, maybe?
I think so, yeah. Hi, everybody. It's Alan, and happy Good Friday, everybody, when we're recording this. How did you all celebrate the big day?
The death of our Lord, yes. I did, like I said, I'm a good Catholic boy that I am. I did have my fish and chips. I did went to the Stations of the Cross, of course. Uh-huh. One of those things is true, one of those things isn't. I'll let everybody guess which one, try to figure out which one is which.
Barry, I heard in Newfoundland they call it a fee and chi, is that correct?
Fee and chi, yeah, that's a term. Fin and feathers, well, that's not really, that's chicken and fish.
Ooh. What, fin and feathers?
Fin and feather, so fin for fish and feather for chicken?
Yeah, well, really, thanks for the explanation. What?
I never would have got that.
Cool.
Well, here in Regina, we got a huge snow dump last night, and to quote Drake, I'm upset.
And here I was angry because it was 2 degrees in Oakville today.
I am very upset. I woke up, I got up, I fed the cat, I fed the dog, I looked out the window, and I went back to bed in protest, and that's how I have celebrated my day.
I'm wondering how they celebrate this lovely day in other countries. Have we got somebody from a whole other different country here with us today?
You do. It's Heather from the wonderful, weird state of Virginia. Uh-huh. And yeah, my kid's on spring break right now. So I took him out. Well, my parents were in town and we took them to North Carolina for the coldest spring break ever. MTV would not follow us for any kind of news coverage or dance parties. If anybody had seen my Instagram feed, it was us bundled up like we were in Canada. My son tried to make a sandcastle and ended up burying himself in the sand because he was cold. So.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah. So, but we did celebrate today by dying Easter eggs.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, but Virginia, isn't that the home of one Hangman Page?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Heather, are you familiar?
Oh, I was at his house yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Cool. How's the hanger doing?
He's banging. He's swinging.
Yeah, that's what he's known for. So it's good. You nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's everybody. We got a full house today. I made a joke about full house before we started recording, so I won't do it again.
Good.
We'll go to Fuller House instead.
Oh,
God.
Please don't.
Make it stop. today we are talking about episode 11 of Kids of Degrassi Street series. It is called Catherine Finds Her Balance. And interesting that it's not called Cookie anything. I guess she's maybe grown out of her nickname a little bit, even though her friends still call her that. Shall we hop into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Nice to do it.
That was unintentional. I meant to do that. So this one aired originally November 16th, 1984. It was written by Jan Moore, of course, and directed by Linda Schuyler and Kit Hood, the Holy Trinity. So should be a good
working
one.
Working the Good Friday reference.
Oh, there you go.
Hey.
And this one is somewhat surprisingly one of the top rated ones on IMDb, which was a little bit surprising to me. It's usually the ones that are a little more fun that tend to score higher, and this one's a little more serious.
I do want to ask a question that you do not have to answer now, but something that I want to just put out there is, who is the bigger baby? Is it Chuck's dad from a few episodes ago, or is it Catherine's dad? Let's see.
Let's find out. We open in Cookie's kitchen. Cookie is much older than the last time we saw her. She's wearing like an awesome heavy metal style t-shirt.
Yes.
Long sleeve t-shirts. Did anyone catch like what the band, like was it Iron Maiden? Like I couldn't make out the actual band.
It was too blurry.
I thought it was Mike and the Drifters, but I wasn't sure.
I mean, knowing what both her parents do now, I'd say it's probably a band you've never heard of them. So,
yeah, maybe it's her mother's band.
Maybe. But yeah, it's very classic style, 80s long sleeve t-shirt, the black with the white sleeves and the sort of heavy metal graphic on the front. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure how old Cookie is supposed to be in this episode. Two years ago in 1982, she was supposed to be 6 years old, but she seems older than eight.
Yeah.
Well, I think we get a sense that she failed a grade. She's been held back a grade when she's talking later. So maybe older than Susie and Lisa?
Yeah, maybe. She seems like she's around 12 in this to me.
I was in a guest.
She's pretty old.
Yeah. But chronologically, she's eight.
Sure.
I don't know. So she's practicing her balance bar routine while packing some bagged lunches, and her dad comes downstairs, harasses her about having a balanced diet.
Uh-huh.
And we learn she's having dinner with her mom tonight. She's to give her a message from her dad. And right away we get the idea this is probably some kind of divorce or separation situation. We also learn that they're picking teams today for something, presumably something for gymnastics of some kind. So they leave the house. It's snowing. looks very much like Regina this morning.
I was impressed. So like sad. we don't see like we've seen the kids in Kids at Degrassi Street playing in the winter. I don't think we've seen a scene where it's like legitimately snowing. Like it's for
like
real snowing.
Like a blizzard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
wow.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah. It's like, wow, they're really in Canada. So it's great.
Well, and that would be quite a bit of snow for Toronto, would it not be? Like,
no, we get big snowfalls. It doesn't stick around all the time, but we got big snow. We got one last Friday, pretty big one, and then it's all gone. So it's great.
Yeah. Well, fuck you.
It's all right.
Wow.
So it's snowing. As they get into the car, they drive away. Her father harasses her again about nutrition. And he complains that her mother only feeds her junk food. I feel like Cookie is going to develop an eating disorder later in life.
Like looking a little pudgy, Cook. Just saying.
At gymnastics, Cookie's on the balance beam, and Lisa is talking about what color gym slippers to get. Cookie will also be getting new slippers, apparently. We can see the ones that she's wearing are comically beat up and dirty.
They're ridiculous. But I have they torn yet?
They have not.
I think you can see your toes through them, yeah.
Later on it does, which is kind of a bit of a foreshadowing.
It basically looks like they put them through a garbage disposal before you see it, basically. Yeah. Cookie of note says that she prefers to go barefoot.
Yep.
So the coach blows the whistle and announces who will be on the team for the upcoming meet this weekend. Casey, Tracy, Barbie, and Cookie all make it.
I love the names.
Yes.
Casey, Tracy, Barbie, and Cookie.
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah. And
I'm loving the gymnastics fashion. The leg warmers. The just all the different leotard versions, the big hefty sweatsuits.
It's like the physical. It's a physical music video, but you know, with kids.
With
I'm and like, not as raunchy. I'm loving Cookie's fashion vibe here.
Hers is good. She has a little bit of a Pat Benatar stripe kind of thing going on.
She's almost got like the white stripes.
Yeah,
aesthetic going on with her like big heavy bangs and the stripes, the white and the red. So Lisa and Rose are going to be the alternates. And the coach encourages them to invite their parents to the meet. And Cookie is stoked to be chosen because it's her first time and she never gets chosen for anything. So Cookie then walks to her mom's band practice. It looks to be in a bar of some kind, and her mom is played by none other than Canadian music icon Alana Miles. Woo!
There you go.
She is wailing on a song called Destiny.
How many times did she say Destiny in that song?
So many times.
Like
and
45.
It's called Destiny. Of course, Alana Miles, if you don't know, is best known for mega hit Black Velvet.
Yeah.
Which she won a Grammy for. And that, of course, wouldn't be happening for another 5 or 6 years. I believe she recorded that one in 1989, released in 1990.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for now, she's presumably just a struggling musician in Toronto. And, of course, she had a few other minor hits, mainly in Canada, but Black Velvet was the one that really launched her into international prominence. She would only be about 26 years old here. So she would have had Cookie quite young. Depending on Cookie's age.
Yes. She could have had her when she was, I don't know, 10 or 18. Anywhere in that range. So, yeah. Who knows?
I was enjoying the drummer with his like sleeveless, like basic beat, but she had like a thing for him, the singer, the mom.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty rad.
So, her mom, Angie, is wrapping up with her band, and she goes to kiss the drummer goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Cookie interrupts them by blurting out that she made the gym team, and her mom responds correctly, which is kind of unusual for the adults on this show. She immediately goes over, tells her that she's proud of her, makes a big fuss over it. So, correct. Good job, 50s mom. and they discuss where to go for supper. And Cookie suggests hamburgers. So we find out that it's not necessarily her mom who's into junk food. It's Cookie who's into junk food. So
yeah, but then her mom is like, you always have hamburgers. And Cookie's like, sometimes I have hot dogs. I was like, and I was like, that is me. Yeah. That's me in this show.
Well, and mom's just trying to, I think, appease because she doesn't get to see her that much. So I think she's just kind of, you know, giving in to get the good in her good graces, you know. And
yeah, she's the fun mom, right?
The fun mom, exactly. And dad's not doesn't get to be the fun dad.
And offers her two milkshakes. Like, what the fuck?
Right? I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, that's a lot of dairy.
We also learned she doesn't have to be the responsible. It sounds like in a not a normal like 1980s split parents, you've got the dad that has the most main custody of his kid.
And he's actually a pretty, he's a good dad. He's good around the house. Compare that to, like, Michelle's dad from Degrassi High.
Uh-huh.
Totally different.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming he's also not racist. I mean, who knows?
Well, but...
You don't know.
Yeah.
I said, do you call the gymnastics team the gym team? Tim, you're an expert here.
Well, we don't have gymnastics in school anymore, so I would say I'm not an expert on it at all.
Oh, it certainly seems like a very generic term. I don't
the
know.
Gym team.
In the United States, we would call it the gymnastics team.
I would imagine we call that gymnastics here, too, in Canada. But yeah, the gym team is a little weird.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I thought...
I got a chuckle out of that. Gymnastics, and she would have been doing gymnastics.
Did any of you take gymnastics when you were younger?
I did it for PE for like a class, and that dang balance beam feels way more narrow when you're on it. And if you look at it from the side, you're like, oh, I could do this. When you get on it, you feel like you're going to fall off.
Oh, yeah. When I see them doing backflips on it, I'm like, come on, easy. Like, get out of my way.
I took gymnastics when I was a very small child. Like, I think it was preschool or very young, you know, kindergarten or grade one or something like that. And those little slippers are very familiar to me.
I had those for dance. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was small enough that it wasn't really called gymnastics. I think it was called like tumbling.
It's tumbling. My son did tumbling. Yeah.
Yeah. So over the milkshakes, her mom asks if she can come watch them meet. And Cookie agrees. And on the drive home, Cookie talks about how some of the girls are wearing makeup at school, and her mom says she's too young for makeup. And Cookie says she's stuffed. Her mom tells her not to tell her dad that she had junk food. And at the mention of her dad, Cookie remembers to give her mom the message from her dad. So the message makes her mom angry immediately.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sure it was written really kindly and everything, too.
Hey, bitch. Yeah, it's great.
He apparently wants her to change some kind of court date, and she doesn't want to, isn't able to. Clearly, their divorce isn't super friendly.
Their mom says to the child, to Cookie, you can tell your father that we need to get the separation agreement finalized. Like, no. And Cookie doesn't need to tell her dad shit. Like, be a fucking adult.
Cookie's used to it, though, because she's just sitting there slurping her milkshake, just looking around. She's just, like, singing some song in her head. Like, la, 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 la.
Going to another place. That's great.
Pretty much, yeah.
Blacking it out.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, this is basically the quintessential way to not handle a divorce in front of your kids.
It's great.
Yeah. And, for some reason, her mom chooses this moment to take out some perfume and spray it on herself.
She's going to a booty call for sure.
going to a drummer's house.
Yeah. 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 Gonna say, show me how you keep that beat. So,
And then she sprays some of the perfume on Cookie. Cookie goes inside the house, and her dad immediately comments on the perfume.
Her dad, while he's been waiting for Cookie to come home, is sitting on the couch, reading a magazine, with headphones on, listening to Runaway by Del Shannon.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the
Where They Ever Have the Milkshake. So that was like a song. I don't know the name of the song, but it was an actual hit from the 60s. So I'm wondering, did they actually pay for the rights to this stuff? Now it's on like Prime Video, or did it snuck it in and assume no one would notice?
This is dedicated to the one I love, right? By the Mamas and the Papas. I don't think it was the Mamas and the Papas version, though.
Yeah, well, they... based on some of the shirts that they wear in these episodes, and I don't think they have as many in this one, but like they don't give a fuck about copyrights as they were shooting this.
No.
So
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, and copyright law might have been slightly different in 1984, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's Mama Said by the Shirellas a bit later, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's later on.
Yeah, it's in the record store later, yeah. Her dad asks if she gave her mom the message and immediately gets angry about her response.
Fuck. Uh-huh.
He starts harassing Cookie about her nutrition again and forces a gross raw egg protein shake on her.
Like, he'll make her something with protein because she's a growing girl.
Fucking gross.
Yeah, like, is she Rocky Balboa? Like what are you doing?
Feeding her raw eggs. I will say this. I have a kid who is picky at eating, and my parents pointed out to me when they came to visit me last week, and they're like, what is with all the protein in all, like, added to all your, it's because my kid's picky. And then if I give them something that tastes yummy, there's protein in it. So I get the whole protein thing, but yes, I don't say it out loud.
I mean, burgers contain a decent amount of protein.
Right. Which he admits at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. But the lack of protein isn't the problem with burgers, you know? There's other problems with them, but I wouldn't say that protein is the number one thing.
Yeah, more like grease. Yeah.
Yeah, fat, salt, lack of vegetation. So her dad also wants to come to the meet, and Cookie lies and says parents aren't allowed. So at practice, I'm supposing the next day, Cookie explains to Lisa that she feels bad for lying, but she can't have her mom and her dad in the same place because they will fight.
I like the idea, like, Cookie's not going to be sitting with her parents while they're fighting. She's going to be out on the floor. So I like the thought of, like, her parents are actually having a physical brawl in the stands, like, disrupting everybody. That's why they can't be there.
Well, Lisa remembers a birthday party where they were yelling at each other.
Yes.
Is anybody a child of divorce in this group?
I am a child of divorce.
I'm a child of divorce, so they got divorced when I was 30. Does that count? Oh.
So did any of you experience this?
I didn't experience parents fighting. I did have an awkward situation where I would curl every Sunday night, and my parents would sometimes just kind of drop in to see me. Like, and of course, when they were separate, one time my mom showed up and watched me, and then my dad showed up with his, like, new lady friend. So,
oh boy,
yeah. So
awkward.
Yeah, so that was a little interesting. But again, I was a grown adult, so I just kind of handled it. So yeah,
I had two boyfriends growing up. Well, one was in high school. No, both were in college. The parents were just like these parents. They behind each other's backs would just talk ill of each other. They definitely ruined their son's perception of what marriage and stuff was like. And they fought in front of each other, in front of me. It was the most uncomfortable thing. So I do totally remember, at least from the friend version, or just the not related to the family member version, of being feeling really awkward about hearing the argument. So I can understand what Cookie is kind of going through. So
yeah, my parents had a really amicable separation when I was young. Like, my dad moved out, moved into his own house. We stayed with my mom, and then they actually stayed separated for a few years. But like, when they would see each other, they'd still like kiss each other on the lips and stuff, and they were like very friendly with each other. And then a few years later, they actually got back together, and my dad moved back in. And then by the time they actually divorced, I was like old enough to be able to process it, you know, in a more adult way, kind of thing. So when I was young, they made it very easy on us kids, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My parents insisted on having like one last Christmas together. And they were like, do it for me. And I was like, I'm 30. Let's not. Like,
we're good.
Yeah. Like,
being teaching, I come across a lot of students that have divorced parents. And it is interesting seeing the different ways the parents interact. Like, there are times where you do not contact parent A or B if you're dealing with stuff. You make sure you contact both. Sometimes one will come into meeting, sometimes both will. So I definitely see a wide range of how parents deal with their divorce.
Yeah. Like my parents were in divorce, but some of my son's friends, my son's around nine, so he's close to the age of these kids, and he's way, way, way less independent, by the way, than these kids. they seem to like there's a couple of his friends that their parents are going through divorce or splitting up, but it seems much more amicable than this.
That's good.
Well, I mean, these two, like, how awful. They ruin their daughter's birthday party.
Yeah.
Everything. Like, when you're a kid, your birthday is like the happiest day of your freaking life, and they fucking ruin it by screaming at each other in front of her friends.
I mean, I see why each of them is being divorced from. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, you're both shit. So
yeah, you're both equally shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Cookie blames herself for them not getting along, which is pretty classic divorced kid trauma.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's usually the child's fault. When things go wrong with your parents' children, it's all your fault. And you should always carry that with you throughout your life. So,
poor Cookie. Mm-hmm. So at Cookie's house later, Casey and Lisa and Cookie are doing math homework. Her dad is ironing. And Cookie is good at doing the problems, and Casey compliments her, but Cookie says it's only because she already flunked the course before.
I couldn't help but laugh.
That part was good.
But, like, again, this is, like, classic divorced kid trauma. Like, it's affecting her marks in school. She has low self-esteem. Like, this poor little girl.
If my son had friends over, I would not have the ironing board right in front of them, ironing shirts or whatever he's ironing. Like, I'd go somewhere, another room or something. That's very...
I mean, is ironing... Do you guys own an iron?
I do, but I iron on the floor now, not on the floor. I used to have one.
I read that ironing is, like, on its way out. Like, Xenials are not here for it, so it's not. Well,
I am here for it, but... Our movers lost our ironing board on our last move.
I'm more of a throw it in the dryer.
Yeah, I'm a throw it in the dryer person too. So the phone rings and Cookie answers it, and it's her mom. And her dad, while she's on the phone, her dad starts making small talk with Casey and Lisa about the meet, and Casey mentions that her parents are going.
Uh-oh.
Yep. So Cookie calls her dad to the phone, and he asks her about parents going to the meet. So she lies again and says that the coach only decided today, and she was going to tell him. And he's happy that he'll now get to go. Her dad gets on the phone and then immediately starts to fight with her mom.
Just oblivious to how fucking shitty he is. Like, okay. Clearly your child lied to you because they've got issues with having parents together. Like, you can't see that. Nope, doesn't see that. Just gets on the phone and starts fighting. He's just like, oh, they changed the schedule or the rules? That's great, Cookie. Like, come on, idiot dad.
So, yeah, her mom's gotten a gig on a weekend that presumably she's scheduled to have Cookie. Her dad is unbending. He apparently has plans that he doesn't want to change, and they have to fight about it.
And then I mean, we don't know how often she does this, though, also. I mean, I could picture her being a parent that may do that quite a bit, so I don't quite know. But still, he needs to just go into the room. I'm sure his phone cord is, like, super, super long, like mine was. You go to, like, five rooms away, and you can use it.
And then right afterwards, he hangs up and goes back and is angrily ironing. And I just imagine shirts with those iron stains on them, like, just burnt in. Yeah.
I just typed steamy.
Yeah. I also, like, I kind of get the impression that, like, he doesn't want to change his plans because of the principle of it.
Exactly.
Like, he could probably just change his plans, right? But because they hate each other, He's like, I'm not changing my fucking plans. You change your fucking plans, right?
Yep.
So. And to be fair to her, I mean, she's a musician who gets gigs at a certain time, so she probably doesn't know her schedule very well, right?
Yeah. Well, she's trying to pay the bills, right? Like, this is her job, presumably. So he's very unbending, and, you know, maybe he has very important plans, and that's fair, too. But, I mean, you could fight about it, or you could just be nice about it.
No, if you're divorcing somebody, use your child as a bargaining chip in the fights, please. Especially when they're in the room with you.
Divorce 101.
Again, yes, I have all sorts of great advice for you people out there.
So at practice, Cookie is pretending to not be any good anymore and suggests that Lisa should take her place as the alternate so she won't have to go to the meet, but no one is buying it. They suggest that she uninvite one of her parents.
Can I give props to the mullet wolf cut hair girl who does a forward backflip with the most heavy bent knees ever with socks?
Yeah, you shit gymnast.
I'm sitting there just going like, I mean, mind you, she's a kid, but it was the heaviest like set of like backflips I've ever seen.
I'm just looking that person up here. That was Mary Lou Retton who did that. So she turned things around, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, her hair is in vogue again.
By the way, so I, you know, for those of you who have kids nowadays, would you have really, like, I mean, you wouldn't have because you've been oblivious, but knowing what we know now, would you want your kid to be in competitive gymnastics in the 80s and 70s? Like, really competitive? Remember when they made that one girl fucking do a landing on her broken leg? So that...
Yeah.
That was Carrie Strong.
Yeah, and they were like, what a hero. And I was like, that's horrific. Like...
And that was probably the least of the horrific stuff they were dealing with if you delve deeper a little into that situation.
Well,
I have a boy, so I probably would think that even though it's probably just as bad, it's still a little bit different, I think, for the boys versus the girls.
Yeah.
Creepy.
So, like, speaking of all these gymnastic extras and stuff in the background, there is, like, an IMDb credit on this episode that I find perplexing because... I couldn't find this person in this episode at all. So all I can think of is that they're some kind of gymnastics extra because they would have been a child at this point. And it's Genevieve Appleton, who I know best from Anne of Green Gables, the sequel. She played Emmeline Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you love Anne of Green Gables and are all about it, like I am, like it, this person is like very obviously who this person is, right?
Yeah.
And so she apparently played a character named Liz during this episode, which I could not find any evidence of.
All right.
And it doesn't seem to be on the actual credits either. So I'm assuming it's not a speaking role of any kind. Otherwise, it would have been included in the credits at the end, right?
Now, we do meet a Liz in the next couple episodes. So maybe it is the same person.
Maybe.
I'm trying to look it up right now. She does pop up, yeah. But yeah, I don't see any pictures. She has, yes, I see her. Liz Jacobs? Yeah, I see her. I wish I could text this to you guys. But yes, she's there. If you just type her name, if you Google Genevieve Appleton Kids Degrassi Street and then you look at the Google images, she pops up.
Well, it does say four episodes here. She's
going to babysit your favorite character, Alan.
Yes. Yeah, I've already watched that one today. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Sure, you liked it.
All right.
A lot.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, we'll see her again, it seems. But this is the first appearance, which...
A Canadian actor with a crossover for an Anna Green Gables show?
What? Was she on The Littlest Hobo, too?
I know, yes. But see, it's like the EGOT of like Canadian television.
It is. Yeah, the G stands for Green Gables in Canada. EGOT. Edison Twins, Green Gables. I don't know what the O and T stand for. Yeah.
Something with Toronto in it, maybe.
Yeah.
Ho-bo. So Cookie goes to her dad's work. He works at Don's Discs 2.
Mm. Yes.
Record store. He is not Don. He is Jeff.
Yeah, he does not own the record store. He's just working there. So,
and gone are the days where a man who just works at a record store could own a house in Toronto.
It's fucking amazing. It's fucking amazing. Like,
I mean, maybe he does own it.
I mean,
he bought it from Dawn.
If he doesn't own it and he's renting it, it's still amazing. Like,
it's still amazing.
Either way, he's clearly the only person earning income in that home, right? With a child. And, yeah, I mean, we don't know. Maybe he's struggling a great deal. I mean, we've seen her fucking shoes. So, yeah. But
that's true.
I really like the way sort of the story of this family tracks. Like, clearly both of her parents are music people. Mm-hmm. That could be how they met. Like, Cookie's always loved to dance when she's little. She wears band shirts. Like, it all makes sense.
I found the location of Dawn's discs too.
Yes,
it is. When I looked it up, I think I sent it to on Instagram to you guys, but a picture of it. It's on the north side of Queen, just east of. I can't say it because I'm American, apparently. S O R A U R E N. Was it Sauron?
Sure.
Sure, but that apparently there's three locations of Dawn's discs, and there's like a huge like history about it. I guess the guy who owned it would go over to Niagara Falls and purchase records from I guess a company that would like furnish records for like record machines for, you know, businesses, you know, when you could put the quarters in, and he would buy them for like a quarter a piece and then bring him out to Canada and sell them.
Wow.
And then he would be there multiple times a week. But anyway, small bit of trivia for you.
Yeah. So this business in 1984 is probably booming. In 2004, it would have been useless. 2024 is probably booming again.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it does not exist anymore as far as I know. So sad.
Well,
Alan,
with the
original resurgence of vinyl, has it cost more for you to pick up your singles and stuff on vinyl that you go looking for?
It's been horrible for about 10 years because two terrible things happened for vinyl collectors in Canada, basically outside of the States, in the last 10 years. One is inflation, and actually, sorry, I'll say three things. One is inflation. Number two is that it's become popular again. So,
and TikTok.
And yes. And number three is the exchange rate. It's fucking ruined everything. Mm. So yeah, I'm like, oh, great exchange rate. Ruin my like most favorite hobby. So, so yeah.
So the record that he's ringing up, Jimmy, he goes, Jimmy Smith. That's one of my favorites. Do you guys, do you know anything about Jimmy Smith?
I'm like, Arlo, if Arlo doesn't know, I don't know. So
I assumed it was made up.
I didn't know who he was, but then I made a connection that I do know. So the album cover looks like 1972's Root Down album by Jimmy Smith. It was a live album. However, I think anybody from our generation would recognize the sampling of his song, or like the homage to his song, in the 1994's Root Down by Beastie Boys on the Ill Communication album. I put my root down, that song.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay. So if you hear that, like that keyboard, doom, 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 diddle-dee-doo, that thing, that is Jimmy Smith doing Root Down in 1972. So, connections. He has
an album called The Cat from 1964.
There are shit, by the way, that I'm on Who Sampled now, and there are shit tons of samples of Jimmy Smith's tunes. So
I can believe it. I was playing it in the car for my son today, and he goes, Mama, this sounds like it could be like a car chase song, like in a video game. And I said, it could be. So I get it.
I would like to listen to his album from 1977 called Give Up the Booty. So
it's a lot of waka waka waka.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Great. So your dad is selling this Jimmy Smith record to Linda Schuyler.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So Cookie lies to her dad. She tells him that she made a mistake. The meet is on Tuesday instead of Monday. And her dad feels bad because it's too late to make alternate arrangements with the shifts. And he suggests that he come watch her practice on Monday instead, since he's now off anyway. Cookie tries to wriggle out of it, but no dice. She needs a new plan.
And dad, again, continues to be oblivious. The next, like, change to this. He's not like, this is strange. Why is this always changing? What's happening here? My kid seems distressed. No, he's just going with it.
And this is the beginning of when we start hearing Mama Said There'll Be Days Like This playing in the background.
So Cookie goes to meet her mom at band practice again. She is now limping and has a bandage type thing on her foot. She tells her mom that she fell at practice and sprained it, and she'll have to miss the meet. So her mom presents her with...
Does that band know any other songs? It's always the Destiny song.
It's just Destiny.
Yeah, and when...
It's their destiny to sing Destiny.
And when they're showing clips of the band singing, in the first clip, it's the same song with the woman singing, with Lana Miles singing, but in the first clip, she is not facing the mic. She has her back to the mic, looking at the band, yet it sounds like she's singing in the mic. So some poor editing.
Okay, that wasn't just me singing. Yeah, no. I thought, okay, maybe they're listening to like a recording and maybe they're kind of going over things. Okay.
No, because she turns around and then she's singing. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why they need practice. Because they're like, Angie.
The mic. The mic's over there.
The mic when you're singing. Oh. Why can't they hear me?
Bands having one song is a Degrassi trope, I think.
Yes.
Everybody wants something.
So her mom presents her with brand new blue slippers and reassures her that she'll have plenty of other opportunities to wear them. And then later at her mom's house, Cookie is experimenting with makeup. They have a conversation about decisions and choosing one thing over another. And you would think as a parent, you might catch on that this is a metaphor for something. In your child's
with
life.
With sparkly scars having a for making decisions. I can only choose one at a time.
I like that Catherine's like, Mom, what if you had two drummers in your band? And Mom's probably like, I don't know, I'd probably fuck both of them.
So Cookie asks about lying, and her mom says lying just begets more lies. And just as her mom starts putting two and two together that maybe there's a reason her child is asking her these questions, there's a knock at the door, the pizza's here, and Cookie gets up to get the door. She forgets that she's supposed to be injured. And her mom just figures that resting it must have helped.
Yeah, Jesus.
And made it better.
She's been healed.
Same reaction, by the way, that I would have. Like, if I was faking an injury and pizza showed up at my door, I'd forget about the injury, too, and just run to the door.
Time stop selling now, yeah.
Yeah. But yes, mom also oblivious. Oh, remember we were sitting in that chair, fixed it. Yeah, come on.
On the drive home, she tries to dissuade her mom from coming to the meet, telling her that it's not very important. But no dice, her mom's coming. She...
Oh, I'd like to say that also the Hong Kong, I wanted as she drove on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like that car would struggle in the Canadian winter, too.
So she greets her dad as she comes in the door, but he just sits there and seethes.
It's ridiculous. Sitting there on the couch angrily, like, not speaking to his daughter. Like, this is the scene where I'm like, fuck. So.
It looks like he's, as he's folding up the paper, he's folding it almost like he's, you know how you have people would fold up papers to hit a dog when they're being bad?
Yes.
If you watch him folding the paper, I'm like, don't hit her, please.
So he calls her in to the room and he explains he was able to switch his shift so he could come and see her on Tuesday. And he gives her a pair of new red slippers, but then he drops the bombshell that he read it in the paper that the meet is on Monday after all. And he confronts her about lying. He basically complains that he does all the work of raising her, and this is the thanks he gets.
Oh my God. Cookie at this point actually like tells the truth, right? She's like, I couldn't have both of you there because you always fight. So the child is telling you. His reaction to it is, thanks a lot. I'm the one who looks after you, child. Like, what?
Poor Cookie.
This is hideous. This is worse than Chuck's dad. I don't know. Like, I mean, look, it exists. I shouldn't sit here and be like, no parent would act like that. There are plenty of shitty people out there, but
Chuck's
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
No, Chuck's dad is still works. He was such a big baby about stuff. Ugh. But more to note, why are each parent buying her new shoes when clearly she needs a new leotard? Because all the kids wear the same leotard until the final meet.
Uh huh. Yes.
She only owns two leotards apparently. It must stink.
And then when he's bitching about, oh, you invited your fucking bitch mother, Cookie. Catherine's like, well, I tried to tell her not to go either. And then your dad's like, you lied to both of us. And then he fucking walks out of the room and slams the door.
tantrum.
Oh.
Yeah, he throws a tantrum, basically. And poor Cookie, she's just trying to explain that she didn't know what to do because she's a child. So,
well, maybe.
At the meet, Cookie has one red slipper on and one blue slipper on. She hasn't decided which one to wear.
Who do you love and more? I love the answer later.
She explains that her dad is giving her the silent treatment. Because that's how you parent.
Yeah.
There's a call for Cookie at the office. It's her mom calling to say that she can't come to the meet because she has an important audition. Cookie's very upset, but her mom points out that she previously said it wasn't important. Cookie says it is important, but her mom says she should have made that more clear. And this is now a consequence of Cookie's lies.
That phone call was so far away.
Yes.
She went like 5 miles to answer, and Cook's like, just go get your phone call.
So Cookie sadly goes back to the meet. She sits in the locker room. She's contemplating between the two colored slippers, which clearly represent her two parents.
By the way,
she gets called up.
Thinking about that phone call, by the way, these days we've got the technology where you can just disappoint your child via text. So
yes.
We have come a long way. Anyways.
I wonder if there's a color symbolism either. I didn't look too deep into it, but also like the dad is red and then like the mom is blue. But I don't know if that would go any deeper than that. But just thinking about that just now.
And somewhere whoever wrote The Matrix is like, What if they were pills?
Yeah. Which slipper do you eat?
So she gets called up by the announcer, played by Jan Moore, to compete. She runs out of the locker room. We don't know what she's decided. And then we see that she's decided to go barefoot rather than choose between the two slippers.
Fuck both my parents.
I was actually kind of happy for her.
Yeah.
I was like, golf clap.
I take it. She went full Kevin Von Erich.
Yes.
Barefoot. It was a surprise to me that she went barefoot, actually. I thought she was going to wear one blue and one red slipper.
I thought about that, but then I always know that in these shows, there's code words that are sprinkled at the beginning.
Yes, I realized that later. Yeah.
I'm getting hip to the lingo that, like, if she says barefoot, there's still a chance, and then the toes peeking through. I started telling my son next to me as I was watching, I was like, she's going to go barefoot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think a part of Cookie's personality and her divorce kid trauma response is that she's like a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't want to hurt anybody. And we get that at the beginning too, where Lisa's talking about, you know, should I get pink or should I get blue? And Cookie's like, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice too. And I think we're supposed to get the impression that she doesn't want to hurt anybody. She's a people pleaser. And so the fact that she went barefoot is like selecting something that she wants for herself.
That's a good observation.
Yeah.
She's also doing her balance beam act, and the music that they play, I believe, is a knockoff version of Bare Necessities. Did anyone catch that? Like, what song is that?
I can see that.
Yeah.
So after the meet, she goes to her dad's work again. He asks how the meet was, and she says she wishes he had been there. She apologizes for hurting him.
Uh-huh.
Because she is the parent and he is the child. And he tells her that she shouldn't feel like she has to choose between her parents, even though he's done everything in his power to ensure that she feels that way constantly.
Gaslights her so badly. Oh, no, you don't need to choose between us. The whole episode, she's been having to choose between her parents. No, it's fine, says the adult, gaslighting his kid.
Did you see David Bowie peeking over the shoulder of Cookie?
I didn't, and I'm so sad that I missed it.
Scary Monster Super Creeps album. Just Bowie was just looking. I was like, oh, I know this one. Yeah.
Best part of the episode. I wish I'd noticed it.
Yep.
So we learn that she got second place, which is pretty darn good, because we learned from the announcer earlier that there was 5 schools there. And her dad says he bets that her mom would have been proud. And at first she lies and says that she was, but then she acknowledges that actually her mom bailed. And her dad immediately gets angry.
I mean, he's trying to get himself mad. Even if she was there, like, the fact that he asks, oh, your mom must have been proud, right? And so even let's say her mom had been there, and Catherine's like, oh yeah, she gave me a hug after, and Dad would be like, of course that cunt would do that. Like, he's just looking for any reason to
that's wrong.
Yes.
But then, surprisingly, for once, he seems to realize that his actions are hurting Cookie. So he softens, and he suggests that she call her mom to tell her about the ribbon.
That was good.
Yes.
Yeah. For once, the adult learned some kind of lesson from this.
The adults were adulting tonight.
Yes. So we get the end credits as Cookie calls her mom. She or Dad head out for hamburgers, and he acquiesces that there is protein in hamburgers at this point.
Okay, fine.
But he explains again that the trick is to keep a balanced diet, because this whole episode is about balance.
Good job.
Oh, yes. Another thing I noticed, especially with Cookie's name, is that when the dad was talking to her lovingly, he called her Cookie. But you know how all parents, not sometimes they use your middle name when they're angry. When he's upset with her or was frustrated with her, he called her Catherine.
Ooh.
I meant to bring that up. It popped in my head just now. But it's kind of neat. Like, you can see where, like, you could kind of foreshadow when he was going to be an angry person or a frustrated person with her, when he would call her Catherine. But then he would come back and then soften up with Cookie.
Well, I'm sure that we're going to see how things with Cookie and her parents play out over...
Mature over the years?
Yeah, let's see where this story goes, everybody. And just looking at the Degrassipedia page and... Oh, everyone, off to their home planets after this episode.
So. We hardly knew she.
Yeah.
Hopefully not murder-suicide situation.
Fingers crossed.
I think she's working at a burger joint now.
How did we feel about this episode?
It was there. It was okay.
It made me sad.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about bad and absent parenting a lot in this show, but I don't think it's uncommon for some parents who are separating or divorcing to behave this way and to use their children in this way and worse. You know, bitching about the other parent or pitting their kids against the other parent. And, like, I think that does show.
Like, literally putting their child in the middle of their fight in some cases. Like, deliver this message, you tell me this, you do that. Like, in this case, they're right in the middle. I was at the Degrassi event in London, Ontario this past weekend.
How was that?
That's good. I mean, you know, I've been to a few of them, so it's kind of, you know... It's it gets super entertaining. We had a good time. I won a autographed DVD because I had a Zid Remedy sticker at the bottom of my popcorn bag, so that was
attaboy.
Very exciting. Cool. Nice. But you know, but like, such a fucking, you know, because we're all fucking nerds who have done a podcast on Degrassi for 4 years, when people had asked questions, I'd be like, I know the answer to that. Like, I wanted to answer everything. But I didn't. I just listened. And like, it's clear that Pat and Stacy, like, you know, especially Stacy, is just like, I like, you can see that to a large extent she was an actress who did the show for many years and was involved in it, but like, all the behind the scenes questions and stuff like that, she's like, I don't know, I kind of know that shit. Like, she didn't really, like, get all the background information like a nerd, like us would. Because she's just like, it was my fucking job. Like, I don't know. I just did this shit, right? But anyways, the big thing that when Pat was talking about the new Degrassi, like the next generation, and where they took the show, he was kind of saying, you know, they wanted to bring us old characters back on, but one of the things we didn't want to do was have the parents be the solution to every problem. Because in the original Degrassi, the kids were on their own. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. But also, now that we've watched a lot of episodes, like, there are so many episodes where I'm like, no, you should bring a parent in. Like, that's what the solution is.
The parents have a job in this relationship.
Yeah. But in this world where we're watching it, it's like, no, the child has to figure it out all by themselves. Which, again...
Or at least let the parents have some intelligence. Yes. Instead of being, like, the bumbling idiots.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, these parents suck.
I do think with these ones too, like, I think kids do have problems that they turn over in their minds and internalize. And like, I think that that's a key to being a young kid, you know, but I don't think that kids talk to their parents about everything. But like in this particular episode, for example, like she seems to be very, very clearly telling her parents that, you know, this is traumatic for her, you know, and they don't care or pick up on it.
Well, I have to like acknowledge my privilege of having like grown up in a pretty like happy home and like with a good childhood, yeah. Because again, I say like this shouldn't be happening, but clearly it happens. Like, I'm sure there are many people out there listening to this now that are like, no, Alan, you dick, like this happens a lot. So
this is common.
Yeah.
Well, I really commend this show for showing different family dynamics, you know, showing families that are living with divorce, where you're seeing both parents, like having a kid who lives with their dad instead of their mom. And, you know, these are clearly two parents who do love and care for their daughter. Like, you can tell in the way that they react when she, you know, makes the team and they both want to support her at the meets and stuff like that. But they just are not able to navigate their divorce without causing harm and trauma to their child.
Well,
is kind of realistic in a lot of cases.
We were making jokes about Full House before we started this episode, but a lot of the other sitcoms, right? Like Full House had like a fucked up family dynamic because, as I think Barry, you mentioned, they had one uncle in there who wasn't even related to the kids. Good old Uncle Joey.
He was a funko.
Yeah, but you know, in a lot of sitcoms, you've got kind of the normal family dynamic, and then there might be like a kid's friend or someone who comes from a divorce or poverty, and they might be like a trope for one episode, but they're always treated as like, oh, that's the weird thing that makes us grateful that we live normally as rich people, or as, you know, well off, like,
well,
family who doesn't fight.
So-called life.
Yes.
Don't even get me started on that. That's a whole lot of those tropes.
Yes. Yeah. The main characters are like, we're normal and everyone else is fucked up. And it's like, it's usually not the case.
Well, and of course, you know, Danny's wife conveniently died instead of... All right, well, I enjoyed this episode. It made me feel sad, though. But I didn't think it was a bad episode.
I would say it's somewhere in the middle for me. I think it was a storyline that needed to be told, but I don't know if it was one of the highlights for me.
I do think Alana Miles was a treat.
Yeah, it's amazing that they were able to get someone like that in the show. I think.
At the time, she was probably a nobody.
Yeah, she was nobody.
You don't know enough.
Time.
This would have been before she broke out.
Yeah.
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 Hmm.
I will say, though, this show has a real charm to it. Like I said, it has that formula of teaching lessons to kids, which I guess was the Degrassi formula before he went all 90210 here in the Next Generation.
Yeah.
But it was very, like I said, and one thing I'm going to say, because it's the first time I've been on doing a Kids of Degrassi Street show, I love the theme song, man. Like that piano.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know what it is, but I love
it's
it.
Catchy.
It takes you back to like an era. I get it too, because I actually just sit and listen to it. I don't skip ahead.
You've missed some of the episodes, Barry, where when like sad things happen to the kids, they'll play the theme song again, but off key to like.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be next episode for sure.
Mm-hmm. So
like I said, but a very charming show. Like I said, real situations that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to, and you know, the real struggles and the lesson is, you know, or one of the many lessons was don't lie, or you get into a web of lies. Look what happens. And of course, have a balanced diet and don't feed your kid rye eggs.
Gross.
That was gross. That was three eggs cracked into a blender. It's
fucking gross.
Like who would feed your kid that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rocky.
Yeah, that's right. Rocky Balboa.
And again, he's oblivious. He's just like, you like this. Like, I think
more here if you want it.
Like, even if you're giving your kids something that like is, you're like, this is healthy and you should be eating it, you could still recognize that, oh, the kid clearly doesn't like this. Like, it's gross. But no.
It's like he was making his famous milkshake or something.
I wanted to know what else was in it, because there was other liquid in it, but the three eggs was like the pièce de résistance.
I think the classic recipe for this type of thing is like orange juice and milk and eggs.
Ugh. Is that like an Orange Julius?
Yeah.
Fucking disgusting.
Ooh, but I do love an Orange Julius. I will be down for that.
Well, go get yourself some raw eggs.
Yeah.
Throw them in your blender then. All right, what do we have coming up next week?
Oh.
I believe it's Billy something, yeah?
Benjamin Billy walks the dog.
Oh, Benjamin fucks the dog. Got it.
Fucks the dog.
Benjamin walks the dog. All right. Okay, looking forward to that one because Christopher Charlesworth is precious and must be protected at all costs.
Yes! Oh, you'll hear about how much I love him.
Yeah.
As like a cute little kid.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. And Barry, where can we find you?
You'll find me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn. Tim?
Find me on Instagram at FollyT. Alan?
I'm going to shout out the Some Weird Podcast as well, Barry.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yes, go listen.
Maybe I should have done that.
Yeah, yeah. tell everyone what it's about.
Yeah, so I in addition to this, I also have another podcast called The Some Weird Podcast. It's about folklore, ghost stories, just random foolishness about my home province of Newfoundland. If you're interested, thank you. If you're interested in listening, we actually got our fifth season finale coming up featuring our good friend Ted, we'll be honest. You can follow that at Some Weird Pod on Twitter or X. It's not Twitter anymore.
It's so much more professionally done than this podcast, everybody.
It's a pretty good podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy it.
Go check that one out everywhere you can get podcasts. We are at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram. We have a Facebook page. Go find it. I've opened it up again to anyone can post. So we'll see if porn comes back to the site.
I did notice we had some spam on it. So I checked it out. It sure was porn.
Oh, like recently?
It said on the side that they had flagged some stuff as spam. It's like, oh, what does that button mean if I click that? That's definitely what it was.
All right, we'll have to go check again and see what's happening because I just opened it up, so I'm sure the porn is like, get in there again. Everybody, let's go.
I've been waiting.
Yeah. Find this podcast everywhere. You know, all the places where podcasts are available. I'm Slip with Five Eyes or Slip, and over to Heather.
You can find me at Little Heather Ruru on the IG.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you very much for our audience for listening, and we will catch you next time. Bye.
See ya.
Black velvet. Baby.
Well, I just said I was going to get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe, just to get to my dreams. We'll be right back.